Welcome to the Do Good to Lead Well podcast. If you're passionate about mastering self-leadership, then you're in the right place. I have always been curious about and fascinated by the pursuit of leadership excellence. This is why I pursued my PhD in psychology with a specialization in business, and I've continued to dedicate my career to understanding the science and practice of positive leadership. My name is Craig Dowden. I'm a best-selling author, award-winning keynote speaker, executive coach, and member of the Forbes Coaches Council. Each week, I'll bring you world-class content on the science and practice of positive leadership. Through my conversations with best-selling authors, TED speakers, and top CEOs, you'll be able to leverage their insights and experience so you can maximize your potential and be the leader the world needs you to be. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Do Good to Lead Well podcast series. I'm your host, Craig Dowden, and it's an absolute pleasure to have you join us today. Really appreciate you taking the time out of your hectic schedule, either to join us live for this conversation or to listen on the podcast on either Spotify, Apple, or your platform of choice. For those of you who are return attendees and listeners, welcome back. Always a pleasure to have you with us. For those of you who are new to the Do Good to Lead Well universe, great to have you on board. And before we jump into it, I do want to extend an expression of thanks because of your ongoing support. We are now ranked in the top 0.5% of podcasts globally. So we have a listen score of 51, which has gone up. And so thank you, as always, for your ideas, your suggestions, your comments. And one of the main reasons, if not the primary reason why we have such an engaged followership is because of amazing guests. As soon as this was on the books, I'm like, this is so fantastic because David and his mission and philosophy fit so beautifully within the Do Good to Lead Well universe. So I'm going to give a brief bio before we open the floor for conversation. So David Katz is the founder and CEO of The Plastic Bank, an internationally recognized solution to ocean plastic. The Plastic Bank is a global network of micro-recycling markets that empower the poor to transcend poverty by cleaning the environment. David has been named one of the world's most compassionate entrepreneurs. He is the recipient of the United Nations Lighthouse Award for Planetary Health, recipient of the Paris Climate Conference Sustainiate Community Award, recipient of the Ernst & Young Lifetime Achievement Award, and named the Entrepreneur Organization's Global Citizen. So again, absolutely incredible. His humanitarian work has earned him international recognition. David has been featured in hundreds of international news and investigative articles, including Forbes, Time Magazine, Fast Company, Business Week, National Geographic, and his highly regarded TED Talk, which I shared as part of the promotional material for this episode, is available at TED.com, and I highly suggest you check it out. So without further ado, David, a very warm welcome to the Do Good to Lead Well series.
Thank you, Craig. Thank you. And good morning from Bali.
I know. Yeah, I was going to say, it is beyond early. You may have set the record in terms of earliest time for a guest to join. So really appreciate it and your enthusiasm about being a part of this conversation. So where I'd love to start is, can you share the origin story for Plastic Bank and essentially how you were able to bring your vision to reality and how it's evolved over time?
I could take that in so many ways. What's the origin story? You know, as it occurs newly to me, as I continue to evolve as a human soul, you know, there's a level of compassion inside it. There's a space of compassion for self. There's a vulnerability inside it. There's a looking inside it. The origin story isn't as much about the business as it is about self. Now, I can communicate that, yeah, I grew up on an island and, you know, I was able to witness the degradation of environment when I was a kid, like 40 years ago, and it's always been with me from there. It's true that what you think about is what you see. That is the truth of it. Life doesn't occur as it is. It occurs as you are. You know, is the origin story more of how life occurs for me? I would argue authentically it is. And if the podcast and this conversation people are joining are looking for that, it's not It's not about a step-by-step process. It's a journey of self. The origin story does live inside of you. It doesn't live outside. Yeah, there are ways.
Well, and I love that you talked about that life journey and life story, and that evolves within us. And I love that. What were some of the transformative moments in your journey where it really impacted you and who you are? I love that focus on who we are and how we express ourselves. What are some of those key events that really shaped your story and who you are?
Yeah, there's a lot there. And, you know, let me give a little bit of context as well for people who are joining and, you know, in recognition of where I've come. We affect currently about 250,000 people around the world. We've got a small business in the end that spans from Egypt to Brazil and Thailand and Indonesia and the Philippines and Cameroon. And we continue to build this organization globally that treats and creates material as a currency, recognizing that all things are of value and all things have come from value. And we create a space for the world to collect and transact plastic predominantly as money. And it shows up in different ways around the world. It provides a space for the poor to pay for school tuition using plastic garbage, or pharmaceuticals, Wi-Fi, cell phone minutes, cooking fuel, diversified nutrition, and so many other things using what others had discarded or thought was valueless. We see value. It's transacted in a blockchain-based banking application. So that if you collect plastic and return it, not only do you get a bank account, but the real nucleus for me today is that it provides a way for anyone in the world, whether they've got shoes or not, the ability to substantiate their own worth, their own reliability, their own value. How does that show up? It shows up as a credit score. So you could have nothing and substantiate your credit worthiness and borrow money for zero interest and then repay back. Or payback with plastic. Collect plastic, return it consistently, borrow money, and repay with plastic. And that really is the big idea. But all that material we collect, we sell to big companies from Coca-Cola and SC Johnson and Pepsi and so many others that put it back into their packaging. We've collected billions and billions of individual pieces of packaging and bottles, billions of them, all collected by hand. Gathered plastic, it's gathered by hand. And at the same time, we're gathering the world together in that journey so that we buy something that's got that material inside it. You yourself are helping participate in change. So that's the real context of it all. And that's in a big nutshell. And that on its own is just a big idea. It's a big thinking. And as an entrepreneur, I've come to learn, and the ambition for myself as well originally was, let's make change in humanity, thinking at first that it would be about the business and the impact and the billions of bottles and stuff. But it's simpler than that. It's really about sharing the thinking. It's about creating a space for others to emulate. And that is the big idea. The big idea is the thought behind it, the regenerative economy, purpose economy, and creating a space. You know, I like the saying, I don't believe in copyright, but the right to copy, especially when it comes to humanity, like issues of humanity. It needs to be something that everyone has access to, because we do need an army of people with an army of ideas. And so there's lots there. And yeah, I've had to overcome so much to get to where we are. That wasn't your original question. And I just rambled on.
No, that's fantastic. And I've already got questions coming in from the audience. So Angela said, congratulations on all of the success and recognition, well reserved. I feel like the world needs more compassion. What advice do you have for us as listeners, business leaders? How can we start to bring more of a compassionate lens to our lives?
It's about having compassion for self, journey of self-love, about healing that inner child, about fixing the trauma in your life. It is only a journey of self. And the more whole you are, the more whole the world will be. We could easily reflect on what's occurring in all of society and see the broken children that have been creating it, the ones who don't think that they have enough. And I don't mean about the people who are living in conditions where they don't have big TVs. I'm talking about the people who don't think their TV is big enough, that they don't have enough, bigger house, bigger car, bigger fashion? How do I look to other? Am I whole enough? Am I good enough? Those who are empty, searching, and trying to fill it with thing, that's who needs to heal. And when we can heal that, we can heal the world and we heal other. So it is always a journey at the top. And as the CEO and founder of the organization, and in any organization, the bottleneck, like all bottles, always occurs at the top. So we have to fix that. Heal self and the world heals around you. That in itself is a big thing. So it's a journey of self, heal other. It's actually, that's not true. Heal self and create the space for others to see what that journey looks like, to create a space so that they can also then choose to step into it as well. Because a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. I can't convince you to do anything. I can show you my own life and create a space of reflection.
No, and so powerful and so important, and really appreciate, and several comments, lots of comments already coming in around how important that is. And I really appreciate, David, the focus on self and self-compassion. Recently had Dr. Kristen Neff come in and talk about her research around self-compassion and how important that is, how vitally important it is. I have another question, not surprisingly, from Stan, who said, this is exactly the message I needed to hear today. So thank you. Wanted to build on your point around the more whole you are, the more you can give and the more you can be there for others. How do I start that journey? How can I bring more wholeness to myself?
How can you bring more wholeness to self? The wholeness of self occurs in the very essence of vulnerability, mm-hmm. of being open to see that you may not, that it's okay, that journeying, exploring, being open, looking at things that bring you pain, looking deep inside, where is it that you are touched, triggered, mad? What gets you angry? What brings you tears? What brings you anxiety? Look there. Go there. That's the journey of it all. Go heal. It's such a beautiful journey. I say this and it's not cliche, but the journey is the destination. That is the truth. Yeah. I mean, it's the journey of souls. It's the overcoming. It's looking at all of it. Now, I'm an entrepreneur. And of course, as an entrepreneur, there's lots of times that you've got to look at self, that things show up. And I was like, whoa, what just occurred? And then look and go, oh, what am I making it mean? Mm-hmm. And it's in the meaning of thing. That's the origin of it. What can it look like? Oh, this means I'm not good enough. Oh, hold on a second. Oh, wait. Oof, look there. You know exactly where to look. You just need to be vulnerable enough and open enough to recognize that healing journey is the journey.
Love it. Well, I've so many questions coming. That's just great. I have one from Allison saying, this is such an awesome beginning to this conversation. I'm curious. So how can you embrace that vulnerability? You said you know where to look. Sometimes I'm afraid to keep looking. Like
then look there. Look at why you're afraid to look. Mm. What's the meaning behind it? How are you making self be? And I can say that many of the people that I've met, many that are on that journey, come from an origin not feeling safe, not being loved, or coming from get to conditionality that you're only good enough when and worthy. Am I worthy of love? Am I worthy of friendship? You see, because when you can heal that, yeah. when you're in that space to actually recognize that you are an unlimited, beautiful, remarkable soul, and in your sheer existence, you are worthy of every moment of love, every ounce of love, and everything in the world is available to you as well as it would be for anyone else. And when you can be there and you heal that, then you can persevere everything. You see, it's the unlimited power. It's the boldness. It's the courage that comes from it. Here's where I'm going with all of it. I'm touched by, hesitate to use the word saddened, but touched by how many world-changing ideas, inventions, thinkings that have been lost in society because the person who had the idea was afraid to fail.
Right.
And so your question was, what was the origin? And the answer is courage.
Thank you. This is so, I cannot, all the comments coming through very much connecting. And another one from Ethan saying, I love the thoughtfulness and the introspection and reflection you're speaking about. David, how did you arise to this philosophy, or how you so powerfully live this?
I've had so many journeys of life, and I can look at my own origin of the conditionality, the violence, the fear in my family, what it was like. My earliest childhood memory, the origin story of my life, was my father beating my mother. And seeing it now is this remarkable gift. I remember being at his knee and trying to make things right. I didn't understand what it was at 2.5 or so. But I remember standing up and saying, not even saying, but remember being in a place of like trying to fix things, trying to, compassion arose there. Compassion arose with mother. Compassion arose with a father who had so much trauma in himself, so much brokenness in himself that he didn't know how, but he didn't know how to communicate. He was just angry. Seeing compassion there. I lost a child 6 years ago now. I had a 17-year-old that unexpectedly passed. There was so much beauty occurring in that. Whoa, remarkable, profound, deep human journey. I could have you reflect on every moment of your life. And if I had you look back at it, reflect deeply upon it, and ask you to look for the gift in it, your life will begin to unfold. Look for the gift inside of all of life. I could argue as well that if you see life, if you choose it to be the absolute infinitesimal improbability of your existence, and you can choose it and look at it and truly understand what gift it is to be alive, then perhaps you can look at it and say everything that occurs in your life is a part of that gift. When you begin to look at all things as the journey, as the lesson, you can change the paradigm. You can actually be free. You have a chance to go, oh, thank you, with gratitude. All things of life. Wow, that was amazing. I was in a car accident. That was great. I don't know where, but oh, okay, something occurred. Whatever it is in your life, there, that is the direction. It's a bit esoteric for many, but I can tell you that this is just my journey. Everyone will have their own journey. This is mine.
Well, and I love it. I think it's such, and again, so many comments coming in, so inspirational. Thank you. I'm loving this conversation. And I really appreciate, David, how you're talking about how we view our journeys and how intentional those journeys, how important it is to be intentional around our journeys and to reflect on the experiences that we have with the people that we share them with and really sit with it. And I think what I love about what you're sharing is, in a world that's moving so fast and people are do, there's this focus I sense, and I'd love to get, you know, to pass it back in terms of, it's almost like this profound sense and focus on being, like who we are at our core. I'd love to get your thoughts on that.
Fact. I wanted to add as well that in that journey there, that you, that what multiplies it is to do all of that with gratitude. Gratitude. Absolute thanks of all. Because when it shows up, it's like, oh, okay. Thank you for all of that. The gift, the way is the way. It's remarkable. It's a remarkable journey. So I got stuck there. What else
was it? I was asking, no, that's my, great. What, I was asking of time. The focus on being and supposed to do
it. That's the gift of life. Anyhow, plus, yes, that is, many people want to do, and no, I get asked so many times, like, well, how did you do it? And I can be onto a journey of self, or like, no, but how? Well, there is no how. There is no, I can't tell you, do it this way, do it that way. I can, it's hard sometimes, but it's as well speaking into existence. You see, like with gratitude and with creation in your being, in your sense of being, the way you speak is what then creates the universe around you. This is my experience. I convey this being the truth. It's my truth. And if you want to look back at origin of almost all scripture, it also communicates, and that it is first from the word. It speaks of God speaking the universe into existence. That's in essence, a communication that we speak and that we are the creators in the universe from our work. And so I can either be in a space of recreation, recreating trauma, recreating what was, talking about creating, like, oh, if I have a new car, then, but you're recreating from something in the past you're trying to heal. Or you can come to nothingness, because this is just all a consciousness journey. It's about coming to here and now. And then speaking into existence from nothingness, because everything exists in nothingness. And in fact, the only place everything can occur is in nothing. It's an esoteric conversation as well. I get it. But in nothingness, and that's where the infinite exists. You see, if you come from something that's finite, something is finite, you're recreating what was. And maybe that works for you, and that's okay. And just my journey. But I know that the more time I spend into the meditation and the consciousness and the presence of being, that I can create whatever I want. And you're bold enough, courageous enough. Who the world needs you to be. And if you be in the nothingness, and that's a journey, and that's not a, that's my journey. And to come out of my traumas and my ego and things and to create. Because anything is available inside of you. Like if there was no trauma, like if there was nothing to, if you came from a place of nothingness, truly nothingness, no meaning, and there was no meanings over anything, what would you be bold enough to create or do or venture or try? That's the journey.
Absolutely. I love this. Again, there are so many questions coming in. This is fantastic. I have another one from Charlene, who is saying, admittedly, this is a paradigm bending conversation for me. I've been focused on doing. I'm curious, David, can you share how your focus on being has now unlocked the steps for your success?
Success. What success? My success is is those moments where I touch the essence of being present. That's because that's remarkable, because everyone's really chasing that. They think that it's a lion thing. They think that when they have something, then they'll be happy. But, you know, wherever you go, there you are. And you still have all of that sadness, the traumas, all of that. Doesn't matter what you have, you'll have it with you. Mm-hmm. And so it's so much more fun, like start the other direction, like find joy of life, find the presence of life, be in that space. And then wherever you go, you'll have that. So then when there's things, well, it's even more fun. Now I get to share it with everyone. And oh, things are occurring. That's cool. Things are fun. Things are amazing. I like things. But I'm not a sense of being, my worth is not defined by thing at all. The farthest thing from the truth would be that I am my thing. It's crazy. And what I'm trying to convey is that if you take that time in that consciousness journey, healing self, looking at traumas, finding that space, being called, awaken into that space, find meditation, find here and now. There's lots of stuff you can go through with all of that. Being on all those journeys, healing self, so that wherever you go, oh, I've got a presence and I've got a joy of being. That's the inspiration for everyone. Mm-hmm. That's what calls. And I know that many people have witnessed that person in their life. Like how that person, oh my God, they inspire me. Just their essence calls me somehow. Also, it sometimes occurs in people who trigger you, because you can be like with someone who's so present, so beautiful. And then in that very moment, many people doubt it. Oh, they're not real. They're fake or whatever. That's your own trauma. That's the goal. Search there. Go look there. Do you have pain? Go look there. If you find yourself in a space where you don't have love for someone, go look there. Go look there. It's occurring for me in this conversation as well. If you don't have like just an infinite compassion, love, care for that person, if you can't see that person as the child that they are, because fact of the matter is we're all just children. We've just been here longer. I've been here long enough as a child that my hair has turned gray. This hair, the only hair. So we're just a child, just children with incomplete conversations that at some point meaning was placed upon us, or we made a meaning that we didn't have the words as a child to complete it or ask or heal it then. And we carried it with us and we made the world mean certain things. And in that meaning is where we lose the compassion and space for other. See, if you don't have compassion and care for self, where will it occur for other?
I love that idea. And I think it's so powerful in terms of exactly as you're saying, how can we have the impact that we want to have on the world? How can we build relationships, healthy relationships with others we don't have a healthy relationship with ourselves. It's the airplane, put your mask on first before you assist other passengers in the space. And what I love, and again, I feel very privileged in hosting the podcast because I get to speak to such amazing guests. And what I love, what I'm really enjoying and resonating in this conversation, David, is that it really sounds like it's this insatiable curiosity with gratitude. Like, hey, what can I learn here? What, even in the most challenging moments, the most challenging experiences, it's maintaining that curiosity and focus on what can I learn about me? What can I learn about my environment? And then turn it back to what I can learn about me. And appreciating that each of those steps, even the ones that we may feel are impossible, are profoundly important in our journey of self. And I love the point because it's so interesting in conversations that I have. It's almost like one of the things that I talk about sometimes, that the more that you look at an emotion, you feel like, oh, this is really out of context of what I'm going through. Be more, not less curious. It seems like that's very much where you are in this. Yeah. And another question I have coming in from an audience member. So again, George was asking, I'm a leader and I'm really enjoying the discussion around vulnerability. So just to kind of flip the script for a moment, I've been uneasy about demonstrating vulnerability in my team or in my organization. I fear they're going to lose respect for me as a leader. How do you reconcile that from a vulnerability standpoint?
Well, that's just a whole bunch of unhealed trauma. Like from the business element, you know, so in the vulnerability lies the opportunity to admit mistake, to show that you don't know or have enough information, that you, there may have been an error. Like you, what you want is a vulnerable workforce that they're willing to admit and exhibit and learn and be there and share and not hide, or be in a space where they're open enough to say, I'm afraid at home, my relationship's not working, it's influencing my life, I don't know how to deal with that, I'm not working, I'm actually going home during the day, or whatever it is, I'm checked out. And in fact, that's in that space, and when you create that space for people, they are at home. They're at home in self, so they can be at home with you. And not enough environments create the space for people to be whole. Because what the aspiration is the self-actualized employee. Instead of said employee, self-actualized soul. That my responsibility in the workforce is to create a space of self-actualization, that people can rise to be who they are in the world, that they have their power and they can then create as well, also be co-creators, not out of trauma recreation, but out of that space of self. And if you can create an environment where people rise to self-actualization and become more than they ever dreamed of themselves, where are they going? Let them go and proliferate the self-actualized soul in the other organizations that they may find themselves at. Please, it's not about the business. It's about the being, essence of being, the presence of being. But I can guarantee you, when you create this space of vulnerability and self-actualization, you attract, creates a space that people lean in and they want to be with you and they feel safe with you. Mm-hmm. Now, if you are that way with the deeply traumatized, then that might not resonate with them. That's true. It may be confronting for them because they think that being vulnerable themselves is a sign of weakness. That's just storage of trauma. Someone told them to stop crying when they were a child, or stop being so emotional, and they made the world mean that if you're emotional, then you're not good enough. I would say it's even more important to be vulnerable if they can't be. And I can see that it's different. Every business is different, and it may be in a place of, you know, I'm not sure. Might be in traditional masculine shield roles. I would say it's even more important if you don't feel like you can be. Right. That's your own story. Anyhow, you've got no idea. You're just afraid because of your trauma. You have no idea if you can be vulnerable or not. You're afraid to be.
No, and again, really appreciate that focus, continued focus on our own story, our own journey, and what we learn from that and about ourselves.
Even if that employee, if you're afraid to be vulnerable, even if it triggers them somehow, who cares? Who cares? It's got nothing to do with you. Them being in trauma. How does that mean? What's that mean? What is that? How could that possibly mean anything about you?
So I've got another question come in right on that point, actually. So it triggered a question for someone, Arlene. Really appreciate thinking about the question, who cares? I guess I'm concerned about the impact it'll have on someone else. So how do I reconcile that?
Impact? How do you mean, like, impact? Because ultimately, what the concern is about creating a conscious community. It's about creating a world that awakens out of trauma, recreating pain that's inflicted upon other, and creating a space of healing for all of humanity. That's the impact that it has in the end. And if you don't think it's going to be, that's your journey. Look there. But I'm not sure if I have the full context of the question, but.
No, absolutely. And thank you. This is appreciation. Thanks for the perspective. I have another question from Adam, who's wondering, when you look at leadership and you look at leadership within organizations, what are the key qualities that you feel that leaders need to grow and develop? I'm starting out in my career. What advice would you have for me?
Awesome questions, by the way. And thank you, everyone that's added any comment. Thank you for all of it. It's really beautiful. It's courageous. I always admire courage. Adam, it's for me, and what I look at is curiosity. Look. What's over there? What's inside of that? What could be better? How's that look? But it's coupled with action. How many people do I know that spend time reading, development, whatever it may be, but never actually end up applying what they learn? So learning and not doing is not learning. And I would say it's worse. I think it's treason to know and then not do. But that comes from a trauma. It's afraid to make a change because you're like, oh, I learned something. It sounds profound, but if I do that and I'm not, and I fail, it might mean, it's again, back to that vulnerability about trying. So it comes from curiosity. Surround yourself by people who are curious and looking and asking, what's inside of that? Or how's that? Or, oh, when they say no, okay. But how? Well, what else would I need to do? Or what would that look like? Or how do I get around that? Or how do I create? Curiosity, then with action, is creation. So people who are naturally creating, what did you create?
Love it. Just have a comment in the comment section saying curiosity through action is creation. Mic drop. Thank you. So, that's fantastic. I have another question. Again, this is just, it is rapid fire, which I love. So many comments, David, from myself. Your authenticity and your passion is exuding through even the early it is where you are. So I have profound gratitude for who you are and how you are being in this conversation and the wisdom you're sharing. Heather said, you've mentioned failure a couple of times, and it's something I have an uneasy relationship with. How can I reframe how I look at failure?
Yeah, there's so many, you know, beautiful quotes in my life. It's like, failure's not failure, it's just an opportunity to begin again. I guess that's one cliche, but it's learning. It never is. It is only the path. I think people get caught up because they think that they should have known, like, oh, I failed, or that means that I'm not good enough. Or it's actually, I think it's deeper than that. And I think where people fail, they believe that it proves that they're not good enough. They think it proves that they're not lovable. It proves they're not worthy. That's the origin of it. That's most people are walking around with their centered terror, believing that their worst fear will be proven. And I could assure almost all of you that your worst fear is that you're not worthy of being loved, that your wholeness is not accepted in the world. And so failure for most people is the fear that is then proven. Look, see, I wasn't good enough. Oh, it's got nothing to do with that. Zero. You're like so whole. Of course you're worthy. Of course. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you are. You're worthy of love. You're a real, whole, beautiful, kind, amazing soul. You're just a little boy, little girl. It's just like, you're just a good little boy, good little girl. Someone told you somehow, some crazy way that you had to act a way or do a certain thing before they loved you. And you don't have to do anything. You just need to be here.
And again, another comment coming in. I want to read the live comments. Someone's, this is the most powerful conversation I've been a part of in quite some time. So thank you both. This is great. I mean, going back to failure, and Heather also said, this is amazing. Really appreciate your insight. It reminds me of the acronym for fail when you were talking about learning, right? It's the acronym of first attempt in learning for fail. And so it's about the journey. I think it's great. There. And I also really appreciate your point. As you so astutely point out, it's kind of like, well, it's our worst fear being manifest. And that there's just so much power underneath that. And again, more questions coming in from Brad saying, love this focus on big ideas. I've been toying with a big idea and I'm afraid of people's reaction to my big idea. You just seem to emanate an energy around big ideas. Like, how do I transform?
This is so beautiful. See, like, so I'm going to, we'll take this full circle back.
Sure.
How did plastic bags originate? So like, we're really killing it in the world. It's really beautiful. I mean, I've got a nice little business going on right now. Like, we're in the tens and tens and tens of millions of revenue. We're affecting hundreds of thousands of people. I have so many beautiful stories of people that are just so grateful for what occurred as a result of being a part of plastic bank, our ecosystem and all of that. Even our customers who come to visit, the profound life change that occurs in people. Ooh, it's amazing. Like, it's such a rich life. It's such a rich life. And then so a lot of people are like, well, go, how'd you create that? And, you know, I communicated earlier word. And what I have done and the way that Plastic Bank came to life was that I started telling everyone. You see, I had an idea and I didn't even need to commit to it, although I did in that very second, but I started telling everyone. Like, this is what I'm thinking. Plastic is money and this and that. And it was all kinds of other things at first. And I would tell people and then they would say, oh yeah, well, what about this? Or what about that? I'm like, oh, okay, great. And I would like formulate and think and go, oh, that's a gift. That's great. Okay. Oh, and then I'd tell a person, I would just tell them in a new iteration. And then they would be like this and that. And I would just tell people and tell people and tell people and tell people. And then eventually it was, oh, that's amazing. I know someone. And it was like, I know someone. Oh, what about this? And then it became, yes, and. It's a conversation about going from yeah, but, to yes, creative, yes, and. Watch yourself in those yeah, buts. Yeah, but this, yeah, but that. That's your own meaning. That's your own story. That's your own BS in your head. Yeah, but the, oh, yes, and. Be creative. Be that curious one. Whatever someone is telling you, look at it and go, oh, yes. And what about this? Generative, creative. Additionality in the universe. See, because everything you do is how you be. That is your being in the world. So it's not about, here's a method. It's about a being. And in your being, in the essence of creativity and generation and vulnerability and receiving, you see, because even in the conversation, it's about receiving what someone else says with gratitude and then being in contribution. Yes, and. You see, you speak everything into existence, and that is the origin of Plastic Bank and the work that we do and the people we touch. Perfect. So it's having such a profound life. Yes, and.
And again, so many fantastic comments, and I think your perspective, David, in terms of that, yes, and continuing to build that, as you said, as opposed to yeah, but, which shuts things down. It's really around that connective tissue and continuing that conversation and validating, as you said, like the gift and other perspective and, hey, what else do we need to? So it's such a, what I love about what you're sharing is it's really focusing on, again, the gifts that are all around us and then saying, and then how do we build on that gift? Even if it's a, well, I don't think that's going to, okay, yes, and that's to your point, like continuing to exhibit that curiosity, which I think is a foundational life skill. What role do you feel love plays in a business?
My favorite book, the one that had the greatest impact in my life was Dr. Stephen Covey's Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Such an important book. So important. But the effectiveness of life, about your very essence of being and the emanating gift of it, your effectiveness of life. Dr. Covey goes on to talk about love, what I prescribe to. What I know today is that love is a verb. It's an action. It's not the feeling Dr. Covey goes on to say that love the feeling is the fruit of love the verb. Love the feeling is the fruit of love the verb, to do for someone. So does love the verb play a role in business? How could it not? Yeah. Do you not love your customer? Do you not do for them? Do you not ensure that you deliver, that you have quality, that you care for and do for and act on behalf anyhow? Do you not love your employee? Do you not do for them, hold for them, create space for them, pay them? Of course it does. You see, we get caught up in the feeling. We want the fruit before we do the work. And how prevalent does that occur in marriage and in a relationship? I don't feel love for you, so I'm leaving. What? You want the feeling before you put the work in? Before you say, you know what, when this occurs, this is the way I feel. Or when you do that, that doesn't really work in the world. It doesn't work with me. I need to be vulnerable enough, to be courageous enough, to be with you, to have truthful, authentic, important conversations. I need to love you first before I can demand the fruit.
So, so powerful. And it reminds me of a conversation I had recently. And there's a book that just came out called When Business is Love. And it's the fundamental premise of, and it's extraordinary because to your point, David, it's that, so what else are we here for if it's not for love? It's loving our customers. It's loving ourselves, loving our
customers. That's gorgeous. You can't give to other that you don't have yourself. Period. Absolutely. You'll love yourself fully, powerfully, beautifully, wholly, like in your fullness. How can you be in a place where you can accept someone else's fullness? If you got your own trauma that, oh, when you do this thing, when that happens, then I'm not worthy enough, and you see it in someone, how can you love them fully? You love them conditionally, which is the way you were raised, and I get it, because that was a life by conditionality.
Right. No, absolutely. I think it's such a, again, it's so important and so powerful to be thinking around that. And again, on the being side of the equation and who we are and how we show up in the world and then the actions that we take. I love, once again, we are almost, I can't believe how quickly the time has gone by. This has just been,
I want to share something. Oh, wow. We're almost out of time. Wow. Time does fly.
No, amazing how quickly this went.
Here, this is important. There's a few things. I think this is important. It really resonates with me. It compared modalities of motivation in children. It was a giant study, and we know some of them. We know that when you comment to a child about their output, that work was great. Look, the painting looked amazing, you know, fantastic, super motivating for a child because the work that they did was great. The additional modality that had like a 10x factor above that was to communicate how hard they worked, the effort they put in, because then just the work, it didn't matter on the outcome, it wasn't conditional. And the modality that had like a 1000x factor above all of that were no words and a simple high five to acknowledge the soul of the child. Be with that. High five yourself. Just acknowledge the soul of the child, to see the absolute essence of the person, to receive them. That's it. Go in the mirror and look at yourself and receive yourself. Love that you've forgotten.
And again, so many comments coming through, and I'm going to share a couple more saying this has just been an amazing conversation. I didn't anticipate how much this changed my perspective on things. No. And David, I have to say personally, and I'm going to high five you and myself in the camera, and I'm going to express gratitude for how you showed up today, for how you're challenging us really to look inward. And I also love how you're challenging us to do the work. And because being attentional and being intentional with ourselves requires effort and focus. It's not something we just kind of check off the list.
I just wanted to add to that. It's hard work.
Yes.
Holy shit. It's confronting. Like, it's terrifying. It's not like, oh, I'm just going to go reflect and high five myself. It is a lot. It is a lot. And it is a big journey. And you got to be bold enough and courageous enough to get on that journey, because the reward is amazing. But let me tell you, it's terrifying. It's terrifying. And, you know, every time I have like a breakdown, my wife is so loving. She's in such a mirror. And she's been such a lesson for me, because every time I'm like, well, why'd she do that? My ego would come out. I'm like, and she's just like, oh, you're in your trauma and I'll be over here. And I'm like, no, you're wrong. You're bad. You did this. But, oh my God. Okay. Give me a couple hours and I do the work and I look and I'm like, oh my God. Hold on a second. And that's what I do with her. Always me. Always me. So it's a really hard. I just wanted to make sure, out of all authenticity, that you know that you're embarking on a terrifying journey. But it's amazing. And it gets lighter every day as you heal. It just becomes a lighter way of being.
Absolutely. And I appreciate you highlighting that for everyone listening, both live and who'll be listening to the recording, because I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. And then the rewards, as you say, are just extraordinary when we can get really clear and very focused on who we are and at our core. And I just love that. And then that translates, as you say, in terms of how, what we do in the world and what we create in the world.
That's
it's phenomenal. So thank you. And I also want to express my gratitude for a mutual friend, Meredith. Meredith had the pleasure of connecting with her. And I said, who would be an extraordinary person to have on the podcast, the Do Good to Lead Well, that would connect with really our reason for being? And your name was immediately referenced. So a special thank you to her. And I have to say, it's just been an absolute privilege to speak with you. And the authenticity, the vulnerability, and the thoughtfulness that you brought to this conversation, it's been exceptional. I have lots of gratitude. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you for creating a space where this kind of conversation can occur, and everything you had to go through to get here, and all that vulnerability, and making sure that that conversation comes to the world. So super high five you, Craig. Super amazing.
Well, thank you. I will receive that and send it right back to you with equal intensity. And so everyone, I couldn't think of a better place to close our conversation today. Please check out David's TED Talk. And David, any other resources and things?
Yeah, show up in the world. You know, check us, you know, plasticbank.com. The new website's coming. And watch the TED Talk and just go to TED. And you know the biblical story. Many of you do. David and Goliath. I'm David trying to fight Goliath. And so David at TED and Plastic. And that will find me for sure. And comment. And find me on LinkedIn as well. I'm easy to find. Find me everywhere. And I'm David at plasticbank.com. So that's easy too. And I love conversations and I love helping. And I'm here to like create a consciousness in the world. That's what the business is in the end.
You've done more than help today from the comments that I continue to get. So thank you so much, and look forward to seeing you on the next episode of Do Good to Lead Well. Take care, everyone. Go high five yourself in the mirror.
Hey.
But do the work. Do the work. Thank you so much for joining me here today on Do Good to Lead Well. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please subscribe and leave a review. If you'd like to continue the conversation, you can follow me on Twitter at Craig Dowden, or reach out via LinkedIn or email info@craigdowden.com. I look forward to meeting you here next week for another transformational episode.